Welcome. Welcome. And welcome. Welcome to Arts, Live, and Local. Carol here. And we're celebrating Diwali today. Diwali is the Hindu festival of lights. It began yesterday, 5-day festival. Victory over light, victory of light over darkness, good over evil, knowledge over ignorance. And there's lots to learn about it. It's a wonderful festival. I happened to be in India in 1985 and got to be part of it. It's all about light, illumination in the house, outside, decorations. It's a beautiful, beautiful festival. And many people celebrate Diwali or Diwali. You can look it up. That was Bali Sagu with Nuri. And this is KMUN, Arts Live and Local. And I want to welcome everybody, especially Olivia, we've been waiting for you. Yes, we'll hear more about Olivia shortly. Shout out to Sydney and Robin and Omaha and Squamish and Tessa and Sev and Seashell and all my family and all the family of humans and animals. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Got a great email just before I left home. So I just wanted to tell you about that song that you heard because I found it fascinating. Called Nuri, talks about the artist and Bhangra music. Indian music is thriving everywhere, but it seems one of the centers is Birmingham, England. So this guy was embarrassed when he was growing up in Birmingham. He was born in New Delhi, but he grew up in Birmingham. He was embarrassed by his family's Indian traditions. His musical tastes were more baby face than Bollywood. He was holed up in his bedroom making hip-hop mixtapes for his friends, and he could not relate. There was didn't seem to be anything funky about Indian music. Where were the bass lines? However, as he matured, he realized that it was all there, and he could mix this music right up. And now he is apparently, this is my first introduction to him, but apparently he is very well known. So, spelled BALLYSAGOO, Bali Sagu. So, here's to the light. The season has begun. Many traditions celebrate this time of the year with light. We here are celebrating with the light of art. And my first guest is very special because he lives right here in Astoria, I think, or somewhere nearby. And I've probably seen him, but I didn't know him. And I've passed his business, Keepsake Tattoo, many, many, many times on 11th Street. Aaron Toledo. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
I'm so glad to meet you, even if it's just over the telephone for now.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, Aaron is here because his art is quite diverse. He is an oil painter, and he is part of this month's show that opens tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, by the way, in Astoria, folks, is Art Walk. So be ready to look around at all of the establishments in Astoria showing off local and visiting art. But Aaron's art is going to be part of Facing You, an exploration of portraiture at Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm very fortunate to be included in this exhibition.
Have you shown your oil paintings or, well, let me back up a little bit. Do you always paint in oil when you're on canvas as opposed to body work?
No, I don't. I recently, just in the last year, started exploring oil painting. And before that, I was mostly an acrylic painter or a watercolor painter.
So are you just experimenting with oil, or did you decide you like it? And tell us why?
Well, when I was a lot younger, I had some experience with oil painting, and I wanted to revisit that because I really enjoy it and just never put in the time to invest in the materials and equipment needed to sort of go for it. So, I just sort of dove in.
So your work that I saw on Imogen website for this show, that's oil.
Correct, yes.
Well, it's quite wonderful. I was so impressed because, because it feels like a crossover. Although, to be honest, I haven't seen your tattoo work, so I don't know. Do you create art of your own on people's bodies, or do they usually bring you a photo, or how do the two parts of your art life, or are there many parts? Is there some kind of continuum?
Well, there are many parts, and I would say that there's not much of a continuum between the two because my tattooing is very traditional, kind of folky illustration style, and my painting is a lot different than that, I guess. It's a lot more expressionary and gestural and loose.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the crossover is, in that I feel like any painter would have some, experience with illustration, and my history of illustration and tattooing has definitely helped me quite a bit in my foundation for oil painting and other sorts of painting.
So which came first?
Painting came first.
Okay.
Painting came first. When I was a young child, I was fortunate to have very nurturing, creative parents on both sides, and I had some experience painting with brushes very young, and really enjoyed it. But I always kind of consider myself an illustrator first, I guess.
Hmm. So tell me, did you start working with brushes? Was either of your parents a visual artist?
Absolutely, yes. Both of them were.
Ah, okay. So the materials were in your home. They were available to you?
Yeah. They were both really good about having an environment where I could express creatively, all the time.
And what happened when you went to school? Did that continue, or did that get attempt at stifling, or it can go in all different ways? I mean, young school, because I understand you are, what I read, a non-academic artist, meaning, I'm not sure what, I guess that means you didn't go to college for art.
Yeah, that's correct. I didn't go to any formal college for artwork at all. My academic training in artwork, it really is limited to, a couple of years in high school and maybe some community college classes, where I had some really excellent teachers, actually, but I'm not, I didn't get a bachelor in fine arts or a fine art degree or anything like that, like you would see in, some very skilled academic painters.
Well, you've got the skill, and having nurturing parents definitely helps, but a lot of people don't continue with the work. So what does it do for you that made you feel like you wanted to stay with the arts?
Oh, that's a good question. I always kind of fell back on some sort of creative expression when I was a child. I was definitely considered myself kind of the quiet kid with the sketchbook. I was always doodling and drawing and always had some sort of pen and paper handy where I could, you know, have sort of an outlet, I guess. You know, some people it's journaling, some people it's, you know, other forms, but for me, I was constantly drawing, and painting kind of became an extension of that as I got a little bit older.
And then how do you move into tattoo work? I don't know anything about what that takes, but I would assume that you do have to study, and there's a lot of physiology involved as well as the artist part of it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. There is a lot of study involved, or a fair amount of study involved, I should say. But I moved into tattooing mostly because I was kind of at a point, you know, lack of a better term.
Hello? Uh-oh. Sounds like we may have lost Aaron. Oh, dear. Well, I'm hoping that we'll get him back. But in the meantime, maybe I should tell you, since tomorrow night is Art Walk in Astoria, let me tell you what else is happening all over town. You know, I was in Astoria yesterday, and I saw a couple, and the man was bending down and taking a close-up photo of moss on the ground. And I was passing, so I just said, "So are you visitors?" And they laughed and said yes. So I told them about Art Walk and the fact that these days, it goes all the way from noon until 8 p.m., which is pretty terrific. So I'll tell you a little bit about who else is...
Back online.
Okay. I'm going to hold that for a minute because Aaron is back with us, but I will tell you who else is showing where. We've got 15 different venues for tomorrow. So go ahead and put that on your calendar. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I could hear you, but I don't think you could hear me for a second.
That's right. And I am one of those low-tech people. So you may not know, but those who have listened to this show for the last almost 20 years that I've been on know the name of it is Arts Live and Local. And that was so that the guest had to be in the studio with me face to face so that because that I found that worked best. But we don't always get our first choice. So I am delighted that we can do this. I can still talk to local and visiting artists, and that we have the amazing facility of KMUN and the fabulous staff, thank you, Nevada, Graham, for keeping us on the air. So, Aaron, let's go back to, it was really funny. I don't know whether you know when it cut out, but you were just saying, I was a teenager, and my life was sort of in the, and then it stopped, and I was like, what is he going to say? So what was going on that brought you over to tattooing?
Well, I was a teenager, and I was working, a number of different jobs from construction to bar cook to carnival worker, and trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really thought about tattooing, but a good friend of mine who I sort of sat down with and was lamenting about, you know, hey, you know, I'm really worried about, you know, where I'm going to be going in the future. And he kind of looked at me with this look like, you jerk, you know, you're a super talented illustrator, and wow, we have a lot of people around us who are tattooers. Why don't you try tattooing?
Wow.
And I just kind of looked at him like, you know, I never thought about that.
Where were you living at that time?
That was in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. Which is where you grew up, I believe. Yeah.
That's correct, yeah.
Right. So there was a lot of tattoo going on in, oh, I guess it was all over the country then. Because,
Yeah.
Revitalization.
I was working in a place where, you know, we were kind of surrounded by creative individuals, and there was a lot of tattooers in that group.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for your friend. And then what brought you to Astoria?
Well, that's a funny story. It was just kind of a happenstance. I was on a road trip with a girlfriend of mine at the time, and we were driving up the West Coast for the entire summer, and we broke down in Portland and had a choice to either go back to Kansas City or stay and get jobs, and we got jobs and
wow,
stayed. And shortly after, I moved to Astoria.
Wow. Very cool. And apparently it suits you well.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. When did you start Keepsake Tattoo? That's your own business, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. I'm partnered now, but it was, I started it, I think in, 2004?
Okay. Yeah, nice. Well, I want to go back to the art that we're going to see at Imogen Gallery. This is the name of the show, as I mentioned, is Facing You, An Exploration of Portraiture. And the other two artists, Reed Clark is well known to many of us. He's been showing in Astoria for years at the college as well as at Imogen and other places. And then Ruth Shively, I know, has been here before as well. So you're the newbie. So
yeah.
I jotted down a few of the words that were in your bio there for this show. Exploring relationships between people and the spaces they occupy. Candid moments captured in time. But here's what made me laugh. Not laugh, ha-ha, but laugh, kind of like, I get that. Inspired by boring days, bad storytelling, and good mistakes. I love
yep,
it.
So
is that speaking of you or of the subjects that you capture, or tell us?
I think a lot of both, actually. I'm not a good storyteller. I'm a horrible joke teller, and I really appreciate those moments when somebody's trying to get a very explicit point across, and it just doesn't, that falls flat. And I think that's just kind of a beautiful thing. And our, you know, most boring days often go overlooked as unimportant because we feel bored, or, you know, like we're not using our time wisely. But, you know, all those moments, you know, that we often overlook are really important to our lives. They shape us just as much as the ones where we feel like, you know, we're doing our most important work.
Well said. Yeah. What about the good mistakes?
Well, the good mistakes, Good Mistakes. That was a phrase that I would say a good friend of mine coined. You know, sometimes we're not acting on our best behavior or with the best intentions or whatever it might be, but, you know, it turns out to be a beautiful thing, and we have wonderful lessons that come from those things. So even though that we might not have been our best place in our lives, some of the best things come from those times.
So,
and that's why I consider them good mistakes, because maybe they were mistakes, but, you know, really good things came from them.
Right, right. And when you're doing portraits, I can't tell because I don't know you and I don't know the people you hang out with. Are these real people or creations? And if they're real people, do you just capture a face and put it into a feeling that you see in them? Or how is it working for this, for your oil painting?
They are all real people. They were all inspired by, you know, photographs that I have or have been allowed to use. And, you know, they were inspiring to me at the time because of, you know, one thing or another. And, you know, I decided to try to render that moment and an energy that I sort of felt was, you know, appropriate for me at the time and relevant to their moment as well.
Can you choose one and talk about it? You don't have to identify the person, but just talk about why that meant enough to you to want to share it and express.
Well, you know, speaking specifically to one painting, which is probably my favorite painting I included in the show, called State Line, was a painting of my grandma. Mm. And, you know, it was inspired by, you know, the memories of going over to her house and, you know, watching her interact with the rest of the family. Mm-hmm. And experiencing her, you know, as a young child. Mm. And, you know, those moments in time where, you know, I got to see her with a calendar behind her where she had, you know, written things very intimately on the calendar. And she had a phone on the wall, you know, with a very long cord, you know. We didn't have cordless phones.
Right.
Were popular at the time, you know. Those things sort of speak to me a little bit. You know, those are very specific moments in time that, you know, are different now. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone were to paint a modern phone now, it would likely be a cell phone. And, you know, capturing her in her home and with those elements, you know, are all very triggering and important in my life.
Mm-hmm. Has your family been out here? Have they seen what you're doing and stuff?
Oh, most of my family is still back in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to see them, you know, a couple of times a year if I'm lucky. But, you know, since COVID, you
right,
know, it's
right.
Not so much.
But you go there. They haven't come to visit you on the coast.
Oh, they do come to visit from time to time, for sure.
I was going to say, some people come to visit and they just never leave. So, yeah, you never know.
Well, I'm hoping my mom and maybe my niece will eventually come out.
Nice. Well, I look forward to meeting you for sure. And definitely, in the meantime, we can see your art at Imogen Gallery on 11th Street and Marine Drive. And this is tomorrow from noon to 8 is the art walk. Do you know whether the art is up yet, or is Terry still hanging it, or?
You know, that's a good question. I just dropped off some work yesterday, so I would imagine, you know, it's mostly hung, or, you know, she's in the process of hanging the final pieces now.
Okay. So, might be, you can walk by. There's always something wonderful in the window as well. But this show, Facing You, an exploration of portraiture with my guest, Aaron Toledo, for the first time, and veterans Reed Clark and Ruth Shively as well. Thank you so much for being with me, Aaron, and congratulations again. And I'm glad you live here. That means we'll see lots more of you.
Thank you so much. I feel very fortunate to be included with such talented artists, and I appreciate you having me.
Good. Okay. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. So, folks, don't miss Art Walk. If we have time at the end, I'll give it that rundown. Right now, you are listening. This is Carol, and you are listening to Arts Live and Local. And the best piece of artwork that appeared recently, and that would be, as far as I know, today, might have been last night, is Olivia Wharton. Olivia's our latest Brown's Mead baby, let's put it that way. Her big brother, Max, I'm sure welcomed her. Well, I know it because I already saw a photograph. Maybe you did too. And her mama, Hannah Polensky Sutherland Wharton, and her papa, Brandon Felix Wharton. She was born into a terrific family. Big congratulations to all of them and all of us, because this new life gives me hope. So I've got a song for Olivia and for all of you out there who are feeling new life.
You're my little potato. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. They dug you up. You come from underground. The world is big, so big, it's very big. To you, it's new to you. You're my little potato, you're my little potato, you're my little potato, dug you up, you come from underground. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. They dug you up. You come from underground.
Yeah. Welcome to the world, Olivia. And a big mazel tov to the whole family, Tori and Dan. Of course, Mom and Papa, Hannah and Brandon and Big Brother Max. And all the uncles and aunts. All of us. All of us. We're thrilled. And you're listening to Arts Live and Local. These days, live from the parking lot. And one of the good things about doing the show this way is that I can reach people who haven't been able to come to the show because they live too far away. And someone, not so much the person, but the organization that I am, so pleased to be able to bring forward is the Bay City Arts Center. And Rob Russell. Hi, Rob.
Hello, how are you?
Okay. Rob is here to talk about Bay City Arts Center. I did have Hope Montgomery was on a few months ago to talk about her print workshop, but Rob has more of an overview. He's the president of the board of Bay City Arts Center, and I hadn't read this, Rob, when I spoke to you. You're the station manager of KAYN, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Well,
kind of an up-and-coming little public radio station on Tillamook Bay.
Okay, community radio at its best. And is that happening inside the Bay City Arts Center?
Yeah, we broadcast from the upstairs, and our antenna is attached to our roof. So yeah, we're broadcasting
Wonderful.
Straight from the Arts Center with 100 watts.
Well, you know, it's been a dream for many, many, many years. I have a beautiful piece of art from, I think, Osborne that we were hoping, you know, to have more local radio. And I know we have lots of connections with you. You mentioned that our station manager, Graham, has been working with you as well. Is that so?
Yeah, Graham and Susan have been hugely helpful for us as we've been trying to learn the ropes and bring our station up to, you know, some semblance of modern, you know, technology.
Yes. Well, neither of them was around when KMUN started, but we were struggling too. So it's I'm so glad that KMUN is able to reach out, and especially since we have lots of other connections as well, including the Helen, who brought both KMUN and Bay City Arts Center to the two organizations. So,
yeah, that's a neat story. In fact, I just got to see Helen today. She has a new puppy, a little red heeler.
Oh, sweet.
And she came and toured the station this morning, and she was excited to see that we're making progress.
Yes. And, well, she was...
Yeah, she's...
She did her own show here. She did a show called Clucci Theater on the Air. And it was wonderful. This is a long time ago. Gosh, such memories. So who knows? Maybe you'll be benefiting from her artistry. She's quite the artist in so many different areas. So for those of you who don't know what Rob and I are talking about. Helen Patty. Helen's had a lot of last names, so I'm just going to call her Helen. She helped gift KMUN with the fabulous Tillicum House, and in the name of her family. And so
we're
attached at the ribs now.
Yeah, she made an incredible investment in community arts, buying the Bay City Arts Center and then donating it to the board of directors here, and then buying the Tillicum House and donating it to KMUN. And this was just an attempt to really set down a foundation of community arts programs for our two communities.
Right.
Pretty special.
Well, I think it was an Oddfellows building when she bought it, and she created the Bay City Arts Center. So that was even
The old Masonic Hall.
Masonic, okay, right.
Yeah.
Those are wonderful buildings, and that one is terrific, and you guys have done a wonderful job on it as well. Here, we were already operating as a radio station at the top floor of the Gunderson building. And when I say top floor, let me tell you, there were no elevators. You had to be able to climb very steep, long set of stairs to get up there, which is not so comical now. I'm not sure how it would work for me. Maybe it would be good for all of us too, for our lung power. But Doug Sweet, who was the manager, and Helen were friends, and they had a good talk, and she donated the made it possible for us to buy this wonderful building. So tell us what you are doing. Tell folks where Bay City Arts Center is as well.
Yeah, so we're located on the eastern edge of Tillamook Bay between Garibaldi and Tillamook. Bay City is one of those little communities that if you blink, you'll miss it as you're driving north or south on 101.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good sized little bedroom community of about 1,100 or 1,200 folks.
Oh.
And it's a neat little blue collar town. And the Art Center is just right in the very center of the downtown area. It's this big white building that you really can't miss. and the things going on, I mean, of course, COVID has put some crimps in our plans. 2020, it turns out, was our 20th anniversary year. And back at the end of 2019, we did a whole lot of planning to make 2020 a big deal. We had about 6 months' worth of musical performances planned and a whole lot of other things.
Yeah.
And of course, in March, that all came to a screeching halt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been, hanging back, trying to do some events. As you mentioned, Hope Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
She is just this incredibly well-rounded artist, both a musician and singer-songwriter and, a photographer and videographer, and she draws and paints and all this stuff. She's been putting on some fun stuff, most notably the printmaking workshops. And, of course, Charlie Wooldridge, who's one of the founding members of the Bay City Art Center, he did a number of discovery and stone carving workshops this summer, which were well attended. We capped them all. We capped all of those events at 10 people, and
mm-hmm.
they were all well attended.
So,
so that
got
us through the summer.
I remember when that was first offered, and it was questionable how it was going to go. This is several years ago, and apparently it just hit its mark and keeps going. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's one of the ways that I got involved as well. And so we've tried to keep the lights on. We've of course our executive director Lonnie Perry has been absolutely invaluable, helping us write grants to keep the doors open. I mean, by April, we were really concerned because our Sunday pancake breakfast were really one of the only incomes that we had, steady incomes, and losing that, we were looking at a year where we might not be able to keep the lights on, and like so many arts organizations. But Lonnie helped us by writing some grants and, you know, getting some of the COVID relief funds, and that has bridged the gap and allowed us to survive through this year. And so we're looking to 2021, probably starting in May or June, to be able to kind of ramp our projects back up. But the radio station, our little low power FM station, AAYN, which is at 92.9 FM on the dial, that's been something that we've been able to keep going, and we've gotten some grant, some small grants to get a new computer, and Graham has been helping us kind of think through how to upgrade the station to get us to where we can have broader playlists and more more locally produced shows. So we're we're slowly building.
Okay, so you said it was 92.9?
Yep.
Okay.
92.9 FM. And currently, you can really only hear that
locally
within a 2 to 5 mile radius.
Right.
But this year, we just got the funds to allow us to start offering online streaming. So once we get the computer systems squared away, our next goal, probably in January, we'll start offering the live streaming. We've got a number of local folks that are producing shows similar to you all, where you know, rather than just good old live radio, we've asked people to produce 1 and 2 hour shows that we can plug in, you know, throughout the week or the month. And yeah, we've got some really neat shows out there.
So are you, is K-A-Y-N, and where did those letters, do they have any meaning for Bay City, or just letters that were available, A-Y-N?
Oh, K-A-Y-N?
Yeah.
It was, these were letters that were available.
But, okay,
at the time when we got the station, people who are fans of local music probably remember Joe Raybeck, who was a singer-songwriter extraordinaire and one of the real pillars of the Bay City Arts Center. He always put on a songwriting contest every year that was really popular. Joe coined the tagline, "It's all you need." So the AYN became "All You Need."
Oh, God, that's great. I love it. So, that's great. That's great.
And we really have tried to make it that.
That's good.
We first went on the air, we grew our song list up to about 65 hours of music, which really was a neat mix of tunes. But then the old computer that we were running on started disintegrating. And that's why we had to get a new computer, because our playlist just started getting turned into Swiss cheese.
So who was, are you on 24/7 or?
Yeah.
You are?
We're what people refer to as a robo station. We really don't have live DJs, although occasionally we do. Occasionally we will turn up the mic and say hello to Bay City and maybe give them a little, you know, a little bit of local news. But for the most part, we are running a playlist and shuffling that and adding music to it, and then plugging in these 1 and 2 hour shows that are produced locally.
But you foresee more local involvement. Is that right?
Yeah, so now with this new computer and a little bit of cash in the bank, we can bring the station up to the point where, you know, DJs who have experience on regular radio stations will be able to come in and feel comfortable that they can do live radio. So that is that's our
very
plan for 2021.
Very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah.
And you're also developing a recording studio there.
Yeah, so the upstairs of the Bay City Arts Center is just a beautiful little performing arts center. It seats about 100 people, And it's got great acoustics. Every time a band plays up there, they say, wow, what a place to perform. And so we've been fantasizing about offering a community recording studio, you know, for musicians to be able to come from all over and make a demo or make a record. Mm-hmm. So we're just at the beginning of planning and writing grants for that, and that's something we're really expecting to roll out in 2021 as well.
Nice. Now, what is your background that gives you the inside understanding of all this stuff?
Well,
Rob, Russell.
I won't claim to have any of that. my background is, I was a music major, and I do love music, and
that's
I worked
good.
In the music business for a long time. But I really got into this through a strange chain of events. My background here in Tillamook County is as a fishing guide, of all things. I've been a fly fishing guide in Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and over in Russia.
Oh, my.
And in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And I came to Tillamook because of my love for Chinook salmon. And in the over time, I ended up working for the Tillamook Bay Watershed Council, and it turns out that Charlie Wooldridge has been a longtime board member on the Watershed Council, and we became friends, and he introduced me to the Art Center, and then I came to realize how much amazing stuff was going on there, most of which fell on Charlie's shoulders, and I could tell that he could use some help, so I started showing up and, you know, I started with cleaning the kitchen and doing some janitorial stuff, and
that's
over time it grew from there.
That is fantastic. I think Graham started here by cleaning the basement or something like that as a volunteer. We all get hooked somehow or other. So Charlie gets a big thank you for reeling you in, as it were, being the fisherman you are.
Yeah.
So that's terrific. Now, are you doing art shows at the Bay City Arts Center or virtually? Or
yes, right now we are just running virtual shows, although people can you know, give us a call if they'd like to come and see them in person. We have a show by our local artist, Eric Sappington, right now.
Oh, yes.
I mean, this guy, he's
wonderful.
An incredible artist, but
yes,
this is the best show I have ever seen from Eric.
Wow.
And that's up and running right now. And we'll have a new show coming, I believe, in December from Tim Maynard, who's an amazing underwater photographer.
So can we see these shows at your website?
I actually think it's our YouTube channel that you want to check out if you want to see the virtual show from Eric Sappington.
Okay.
And then also Hope Montgomery has been putting up some music performances from the past up on our YouTube channel as well. So, yeah, check out the Bay City Art Center's YouTube channel.
Okay.
And you should be able to see a couple of neat things there, and we'll be offering a lot more there over the next year.
Fantastic. And I'm thinking maybe if somebody goes to baycityartscenter.org, they'll be able to figure out how to get to YouTube. Or maybe people know how to do it, and I'm just one of the Luddites.
Well,
so
you can just do like I do and just Google it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Our website is a Weebly site, so you because of some hosting stuff, the baycityartscenter.org URL doesn't link directly.
But
if you just Google Bay City Art Center and then hit videos, it should come up with all of the new stuff.
And folks, you don't have to use Google. You can use any research engine you like, and you'll still get it. So, hey, Rob, this is great. I'm so delighted to meet you this way. Next time, hopefully, we'll be in person. And thank you so much for taking on the responsibility. I presume that if you're president of the board, there are other people who are non-presidents. So you've got a board.
We have an amazing board.
Yeah.
And I would invite you to come down and visit us sometime soon. We'd love to show you around and And I'd love to interview you on our radio.
There you go. Well, and I mentioned that I have been to Bay City Arts Center for various things, including the wonderful, I did go to one breakfast, and I went to also dinners. And also there used to be a Jews Harp Festival every year. And I went to a couple of those.
Some of the funny.
And we camped out.
Yeah,
it was great. It was great. So I'm so glad to hear that. I didn't realize that we keep getting more and more related now through the radio station as well. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely be talking again. My guest, Rob Russell, from the Bay City Arts Center in, where else? Bay City, Oregon, on 101. Thanks again, Rob.
Thank you. Stay healthy, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
You too, and a big hello to Helen, of course.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Folks, you're listening to Arts Live and Local. We've got a few more minutes. Let me tell you what else is happening, including the Astoria Art Walk, who's involved in that, but also tonight, some things are happening ongoing. For example, Stormy Weather Festival, which was last weekend in Cannon Beach, has some virtual tours, including at Dragonfire Gallery and possibly more. It was very successful. And also keep in mind, I was hoping she could come and talk about this, but I don't know. Clatsop Animal Assistance every year has a fabulous fundraiser with amazing gifts, silent auction gifts. I mean, we're talking amazing. And the most amazing thing, I think Linda Perkins started this. It's a table that's probably 20 feet long. It's the entire length of the Fort George Lovell Room, filled with pastries and cookies and cakes and pies and dog cakes and everything else. And that is their big fundraiser. Well, you guessed it. It ain't happening. So what they're doing is having pupper picks. So check this out. Go to Dogs and Cats. That's dogsncats.org. And see how you can take a picture of your animal and you, or you, without, whatever, send it to them, make a donation, and keep our wonderful organization alive and well. Also, if you are interested in writing to voters, check out INCO, that's Indivisible North Coast Oregon, because they get together weekly and do that. Saturday, Southwester is streaming Tommy Alexander. So I couldn't write down the entire URL, but it's if you go to Southwester Lodge Music or email him, southwesterlodgemusic@gmail.com, or just go to their website. You can find out more. Every week they have a musician who is playing live at Southwester, and they stream it for the rest of us because it's not open to the public. Also tomorrow, there's a community gathering for unity and healing. And that is Barbara and Chuck at nahalemtel.net, if you want to know more about that. On Sunday, Fort Clatsop is on YouTube at 1 o'clock, Layers of Middle Village History with Bill Garvin. Monday, the NCRD, that would be the North County Recreation District Gallery, 9 to 4, Monday through Friday, has a show up live. With six local artists. Tuesday, there's a workshop. I just love the name. Flea Market Flip. Yeah, at the Rusty Dahlia in Astoria. You know, that may not even be happening, but it has such a great name. Four Shillings Short is streaming on Tuesday as well. And Thursdays, there's a calligraphy class every Thursday with Nicole Poole. And next week, we'll be hearing from Jennifer Crockett because the Liberty is having a gala virtual on next Saturday. For Art Walk, we've got the Paul Polson Studio Gallery on 10th Street. with art by John Willis and Paul Paulson. Angie D. Wilt Gallery, 106 10th Street. 10th Street has become a real mecca. Oh, wrong word. A real draw for the arts. And fused glass artists Nancy Boss and Christine Kendi are at the Angie D. Wilt Gallery. The Secret Gallery, that would be Jill and Chris's gallery, is presenting the gallery's new show, What Would Hieronymus Do?, which features new works by Colin Chillag, Tyson Grum, Cassandra Kim, Anthony Pontius, Joshua J. Johnson, Matthew Dennison, Kathleen Powers, Laura Barstow, Philip Marzipan, oh, yummy, and brother Kevin Coffey and David Marcet. And that's 160 10th Street in the back. West Coast Artisan Gallery, also 160 10th Street, the big gallery right on the street. New oil paintings by Michael Muldoon and Kitty Paino. Kitty Paino, I love her work, is multimedia or mixed media pieces. Vintage Hardware, 1162 Marine Drive. Textiles and objects discovered in Turkey, Java, and Thailand. Got to see that, 10 to 5. And Astoria Institute of Music and Center for the Arts, 1159 Marine Drive. Abstract acrylic paintings by Jackie Leloff. I'm running out of time. Blaine Verley, Shannon Hendrick, Lisa Ackerman, Barbara Ann, and Richard T. will be playing music tomorrow. And so Brumfield Gallery on 1033 Marine Drive is showcasing contemporary printmaking, more than 12 artists. It's a gorgeous show. I've checked it out. Imogen Gallery, you heard about earlier with Reed Clark, Ruth Shively, and Aaron Toledo. Beautiful. That's 240 11th. Forsythia, 1124 Commercial. Amy Magnuson is being shown. Riversea Gallery, 1160 Commercial. Three exhibits, Cat Astrophy, Darkly Beautiful Creatures, and Tree Spirits, and Jill McVarish herself and Dave Benz, oh boy, those two are wild. They are sharing paintings that are a response to this catastrophic year. Oh, that should be fab. Melissa Kojima and Jimmy Smith as well. Oscar DeMasi Studio and Gallery, 1145 Commercial. Astoria Visual Arts, Iris Sullivan, Dare. Holy cow, who knew? She's fabulous. So that's right on the corner of 10th and Duane. Cambium Gallery on Duane, right next door. Urban Jewel and Vaulted Gallery on 14th and Duane. And the Oregon Gypsy Gallery, 1426 Commercial. And folks, I'm out of time. I hope that some of you are able to get out and see art. You are listening to KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Please take care. Cherish the ones you love. Cherish the ones you can love, because we all are in this together. Stay tuned.